When gold is being refined, the first step is to melt it. Gold ore comes out of the ground impure, but when placed in the furnace, it becomes gold. Today on Through the Bible, we learn about some of the things that God uses to melt and purify our hearts as well. As Job 23:10 teaches us, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." What we'll be reminded of today is that every trial we face is allowed by God for our ultimate good. This is the anchor that we hold to in the storms of life, and this is the wind that fills the sails of hope. This is the light that guides the ship of faith safely into the harbor. And I'll say it again, every trial that we face is allowed by God for our ultimate good. And we'll learn more about how God works through our pain and suffering from Dr. J. Vernon McGee in today's study on Through the Bible. But first, Greg Harris and I will catch you up on what's happening as together we take God's whole word to his whole world.
Yes, we do want to catch our listening family up on some news. And the interesting thing, Steve, is it's news about the oldest of our global ministries, which is?
It is Spanish.
That's right.
And Spanish is significant in that, you know, 130 plus languages and going into all these sub-dialects, but it all started with Spanish.
That's right.
And so just like somebody that has a lot of kids, you know, their firstborn always has a special place in their heart, and Spanish is that firstborn for us.
Yes, and Dr. McGee really was somewhat hesitant at the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't really sure this was something that we should be doing, and Dr. Paul Fried, the founder of Transworld Radio, great man of God who I worked for when I was there, had so much passion for the global ministry that he really convinced Dr. McGee to try it, and of course, as we like to say, the rest is history.
Yep.
Now, the news that we have about this oldest of our global children, if you will, is that we are now in the 10th trip through the Bible in Latin America.
Yeah, I mean, 45 years. It's hard to believe.
And there's some exciting changes coming. It's not just that we're in our 10th cycle. We're changing a number of things in terms of, first of all, the host, if you will, the Steve Schwetz of the program. And you went through that transition many years ago when Bob Smith, our prior host, died and went to be with the Lord. It's a fairly significant transition when you get a new host to the program.
Yeah. And his name is Jahiel Ortiz.
Yes.
And he's rather young.
He's about young the way you were.
When I started. Yeah. So he'll be around hopefully for a very long time, and listeners will grow to love him.
Yes, that's right. And I've heard great things about him, that he loves the ministry, that he brings a lot of warmth. And you know, because you've had people who have really responded to you and just told you what your hosting of the program has meant to them, reading the letters, et cetera.
I think the biggest benefit that Jahiel is going to have is he will have countless number of people praying for him because he's a part of the ministry, the way other people won't get prayed for in the ministry because he's the voice.
That is right.
The host.
Now, another exciting thing that is being developed in our Latin American Spanish ministry is that the leader of the Spanish ministry is a staff member at Transworld Radio, and she has such a passion for the World Prayer Team that she said, "We want to start translating those daily emails and encourage our Spanish listeners to become members of the World Prayer Team."
Yeah, that is wonderful that we're going to have now Spanish speakers join our World Prayer Team.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah.
There's another very exciting tool that I've actually seen some of these. I've had one of these in my hands, and that is they're taking, just like we have in English, we call them the edited messages of Dr. McGee. They are creating that in Spanish, actual printed books with various books of the Bible. And not long ago, at the end of the last cycle, they started the study in Revelation. Always, they say, an interest to those who love to learn about prophecy. We know interest in the book of Revelation is always very high. And they're very excited to have Dr. McGee's commentary on the book of Revelation in the Spanish language for the first time.
Yeah. The other thing they're doing is with, as you mentioned, one of the pillars of what we're trying to accomplish is look at new delivery methods.
Yes.
And they're continuing to use the USB flash drive, the Bible bus flash drive, as it's known here in the U.S. and Canada. And they've got different adapters and connectors. Not everybody listens to the radio in South America. And so they've got the Android, iPhone, USB compact, basically so that anybody can connect that USB flash drive to a smartphone and listen.
And that really is exciting to see them developing new technologies. And one of the things that we see throughout the ministry is that a través de la Biblia, which is the Spanish name of through the Bible, is a stabilizing factor in the life of many believers who live in countries with a high degree of instability. Like Mariela, who wrote this, "I am a Venezuelan."
Yeah, can't get more unstable than that.
Yeah, we've all followed that in the news. And she says, "I recently arrived in Argentina. When I was young, I used to listen to this program in my country, but I could no longer tune in due to the government regulations over media and because Christian radio stations were disappearing. Here in Argentina, I was able to find you on the internet, and I am fascinated with the study. I thank God for you. You are a blessing to my husband and me."
Yeah, that is such an encouragement. Greg, let me pray as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the way you've blessed the ministry of Through the Bible in Spanish. I pray that as they kind of enter into this new phase, that you would continue to bless it, continue to call people to yourself. There are difficulties in many parts of South America, and everybody needs the gospel. I pray that there would be new opportunities for people to hear in this next cycle. May your word be blessed as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're coming today back to the first chapter of 1 Peter at verse 17. Now, this is a very important epistle, as I'm sure that you've discovered. Now, we want to begin here by saying that we're in this section where the theme is suffering and the Scriptures, that the Word of God ministers to you in your life, and that there's no other way, as we've seen, for God to take the dross out of your life any more than you could take the dross out of gold, except by putting it in the crucible and heating it red hot. And then it's melted, and the dross can be taken off, and it'll be a fine object. I had the privilege of seeing the crown jewels in the Tower of London, and the beautiful gold crown there set with diamonds. As I looked at it, I thought, well, that gold had come out of the ground. It was just ore. And my, what it had been through before it can be in a crown and be there to thrill the tourists that came by and took a look at it. Now, God put you and me through that. And that's the only way He can develop us. Now, this idea today that there's some little shortcut, and you can take some little course, and you're going to become some wonderful Christian. Now, I'm here to say something very unpopular again, but it must be repeated. Somebody needs to say it. The only way for God to fashion you and me is to put us on the anvil of life and bring us to a red-hot heat and then to beat us into the shape that He wants us in. That's His method, and He says that He uses it. He doesn't apologize for it, and He never asked me to apologize for Him, so I won't apologize for Him. I just say that's His method today. And we have too many phony, so-called spiritual folk that feel like they're adequate today, and they're as phony as a $3 bill. They don't know what it is to suffer. They don't know what it is to endure pain. And yet they feel like that they're living Christian life at the very top. My friend, God's method is to put you in the crucible of life. Now, will you listen to Him here as He continues to speak about these things that have to do with the nitty-gritty things of life? And He says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons," and here again, Paul has said it, James has said it, now Peter says it, that God doesn't respect persons. None of us are God's little pets that He's going to keep a nursing bottle in our mouths all the time and burping us all the time. Listen to Him. "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear," my friend, in view of the fact that God's going to judge your work as a Christian. This hasn't anything to do with your salvation. It has something to do with your Christian life, down here where you're living it. Now, in view of the fact that, I tell you, it ought to cause some of us to become very sober-minded and to give a little more attention to the life that we are living today and make sure that we're not superficial, that this smile that we have on our face all the time and that we're attempting to produce joy and radiate happiness and sunshine everywhere that we go. My friends, the gospel is not sprinkling rose water on a bunch of dead weeds. The gospel today transforms lives and brings life to you. As we have seen, we have a living hope that rests upon the resurrection of Christ, which means he's alive up yonder today at God's right hand. Now he goes on to say in verse 18, "For as much as ye know," and I hope you know this today, "that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now he's talking here actually about the objective work of God for your salvation, and that is the redemption. And he had to pay a price for you. You see, you and I stood under the judgment of God, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. And God hasn't changed that. That has never been revoked. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the immutability of God is the terror of the wicked if they give any thought to it at all. God doesn't change. It's nice to say that we're living in a new age and we have new thoughts and new ways and that sort of thing. My friend, God has not changed. No reason for him to change. He knew the end from the beginning. Why did he need to change? He doesn't. And he didn't learn anything when he read the morning paper and looked at the television newscaster this morning. Didn't tell him a thing. And there was no surprise. God has no surprises. Now, we've been redeemed. And how we're redeemed? Not with corruptible things, like silver and gold. Now, silver and gold can be purified by being put in the crucible, heated red hot, and the dross can be drawn off. But may I say to you, even gold and silver will corrupt. Now, if you have any silver at home that you use on your table, you only get it out when you have visitors. And you know, every time you get it out, it's corroded. It's dull, looks like pewter. Why? It's corrupting. Silver will corrupt. Gold will corrupt. Therefore, we're not redeemed with corruptible things. And anything that's taken from our vain manner of life, there's nothing in this life. This life is empty, friends, without the redemption of Christ. It's meaningless without it. There's nothing quite as meaningless as human life apart from the redemption of Christ. Everything else serves a purpose that's in this world. Every animal is here because it serves a purpose. Every plant is here, serves a purpose. The sun in the sky serves a purpose. Man, without God, is meaningless. He's garbage. Someone has said that we're merely a little breaking out on the epidermis of a minor planet. That's all in the world that mankind is, apart from God. We have not been redeemed with corruptible things or anything from this empty world, an empty life. Mankind hasn't anything to offer to God today. My friend, what do you have that God wants and needs? One of the things I learned being put aside, man, I thought the conferences I had up in the Northwest and the services that I was to conduct, my, I thought they were important. God put me flat on my back and he said, "Listen," he said, "you know I got along without you before you got here. And the interesting thing is, I'm going to get along without you after you leave here. Now, you think these things are important, but I want you to know that what is important, I want you to lie here flat on your back, look up at me, and find out that your relationship with me is the most important thing that there is. And I want to teach you a few things. I want you to find out that you need to rest in me and that you can trust me. And you teach the Word of God, and sometimes you're teaching way out ahead of where you've been living. Now I want you to sort of catch up. And I want you to find out that what I say in my Word's true, and that a little suffering not going to hurt you at all. It's going to mold you and shape you. May I say to you, we've been redeemed, not with these empty things in this world. What can you and I do today to redeem ourselves? Verse 19, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And here goes Simon Peter again, that great big fisherman. He says the blood of Christ is precious. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Simon Peter was with him 3 years, and he says he was without blemish and without spot. And I rather think that he knew more about it, because all that he got for following him was a cross, and he was crucified. And I'd rather believe him than the writers of Jesus Christ Superstar, because they admit the only reason they wrote it was to make money. Simon Peter wasn't in the money-making business, because he said, we haven't been redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, that's our redemption. That's objective. That's what God did for you and me, who verily was foreordained. And here we go again with this long definition that we have in the New Scofield Bible. And may I say to you that the better word here is foreknown rather than foreordained. But you have here really a tremendous statement in the Scofield Reference Bible. But when I begin to deal with these words that we have, like foreordination, election, predestination, foreknowledge, and all of that sort of thing, I feel like that man today, because we have a finite mind, we treat God like he's a great big computer. And I don't think he's that at all. He's got a heart bigger than any computer. And I'm not really concerned whether foreknowledge comes before foreordination. Now, I studied all that in theology and did pretty well in it. And very frankly, I since then have just not been concerned with which comes first. The important thing is this, who verily was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And if you want it in good old Americana, the cross of Christ was not an ambulance sent to a wreck. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And God knew all the time that Vernon McGee would need a Savior. And he loved him enough to provide that Savior. And I don't know about you, I don't need a computer to go over this. I just need a God with a great big heart of love that provided by his grace a redemption. This is wonderful. Now will you notice, who by him do believe in God who raised him up from the dead. Simon Peter just can't get us away from the resurrection, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Before he put grace and hope, and now it's faith and hope. This is the great apostle of hope, and hope rests upon the resurrection of Christ, the fact we have a living Savior, and he's coming someday. Now listen to him. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. The Word of God, friends, is a miracle cleansing agency. On television today, they show you their competitor's product, and it won't take all the spot out, but theirs takes the spot out. It may be a spot on a shirt or a pair of breeches or socks or a tablecloth or what have you, or maybe on the floor that you're not really using the right wax there. They all got some miracle product today. My friend, the only miracle cleansing agency in this world today is the Word of God. It's the best bar of soap that you can get, and it's lots better than Zest. It's lots better today than getting a box of Tide or a bottle of joy. This will take the spots out. The Word of God today, and many of us need to get closer to it. And he says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, I won't go into detail there other than to say that your relationship to the Word of God will lead to a right relationship with other believers, by the way. Now, let's move on. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, we're back to the Word of God again. Now we're going to talk about the subjective work of God in salvation. The objective work, Christ died, that's our redemption. That happened 1,900 years ago, and you can't add anything to it. But if you're going to become a child of God, you'll have to be born again. You will have to be born from above. This is what the Lord Jesus, you remember, said to Nicodemus that night, and he was religious to his fingertips. He said to him, you must be born again. You must be born anathen, from above, by the Spirit of God. Now, what does God use? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, let me say this, and I want to say it very carefully. You cannot be saved. You cannot be born again apart from the Word of God. This is the miracle that's in the world today, is this book. And you know, I never cease to marvel, though, when I get letters, and I just can't read them all to you, about people who just listen to this little weak broadcast that we have. And their lives are transformed. They're born again. And I say, my, isn't that wonderful? Don't see how it happened. Well, this is what he said, that the Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever. Now, we're living in a day when a great deal is said about virility. A man that's vigorous and virile, and a woman that is sexy. And my, there's a big emphasis that's put on that today. I want to tell you about the thing that's more virile and vigorous than anything else, and I hope you don't misunderstand, it's sexy. It's the Word of God. It is something that, my friend, you can put your arms around the Savior that's presented here. You can trust Him, and a birth takes place, a miraculous birth, a virile and vigorous, that the Word of God today can penetrate your heart, make you a child of God. My friend, this is something today that's important, and all of this running around with an emphasis on sex and virility and sexy. I think that we're becoming paranoid today, the human race is. You'd think this generation discovered sex. My friend, that which will really bring a birth in your life is the Word of God, as it reveals Christ to you. And then something takes place on the inside of you. You're born again. For all flesh is like grass. Don't think that there's something in us. There's nothing. And all the glory of man like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and his flower falleth away. Man is just like the grass out there. It looks nice and green in the summertime, but it's very dead in the wintertime. It won't appear but for just a little while. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. My friends, may I say today, we need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God above everything else. And I do not mean to minimize the place of music and the place of methods and the place of organization and the place of many other things. But there's no substitute for the Word of God today. And on that note, we close. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
It's true, even at Through the Bible, we're discovering many new and different ways to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, you know, we believe that nothing of any lasting value will happen unless God's Word is at the center of all that we're doing. 1 Peter tells us that the living and abiding Word of God is the only thing that will last forever. In fact, we believe that God uses His Word to penetrate our hearts. The Spirit uses His Word to convict of sin and then leads us to faith in God. So, if you'd like to know more about what this all means, then why don't you visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner, How Can I Know God? Or if you'd like us to mail a few resources to you, just call or write to us. Our number is 1-800-65-BIBLE. Our email address is biblebus@ttb.org. And our mailing address is Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Now, tomorrow, we'll learn from 1 Peter how to grow as a Christian. And here's a hint. It includes the study of God's Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you then.
All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole Word to the whole world.